You're listening to Profiled, a podcast by NCCM, the National Council of Canadian Muslims, where we profile leaders of our community who inspire us every single day. My name is Omar Kamisa, and each week we'll be sitting with these amazing individuals to talk about their lives, the lessons they've learned, and their experiences being profiled. Assalamu alaikum, hello, and welcome back to episode number 4 of the Profiled Podcast. I'm your host, Omar Kamisa, the Community Engagement Officer here at NCCM, and thank you guys so much for tuning in once again this week. You guys have been absolutely, absolutely amazing. Thank you guys for checking this podcast out, for joining us on this ride, and for listening to the previous episodes. The response that we've been getting around the community has been absolutely more than we could have ever imagined. The response for last week's episode with the great Muhammad Faqih honestly blew our minds. You guys are amazing, and we hope to continue to provide you with this content continuously, week after week after week. Please don't forget to leave us reviews, to leave us comments, to send us emails. Let us know what you think. If there's guests that you guys want to hear from that we haven't had on, send us a message. Send those recommendations. We would love it. But do remember, if you're listening to this on iTunes, go down on iTunes, leave us a review, leave us a rating. This podcast can only grow with the ratings and the reviews of our fans and our listeners. So please remember to do that. And we will honestly be forever grateful for you, for each and every single one of you guys. So this week we have a really, really amazing guest with us this week. This week, Mustafa Farooq, the CEO of NCCM, had a chance to sit down with an actual federal minister here in Canada. He's the Minister of Families, Children, and Social Development. That's Minister Ahmed Hussein. And what we actually had a chance to do is Mustafa and Minister Hussein had a conversation. Really just on, you know, this kind of world that we live in now, right? We live in a world that has the COVID, that's post-COVID-19, right? Everything has been changed. Everything has been kind of tossed in the air. People are either out of work. Some people are working from home. The kids are home. So the conversation with Minister Hussein really reflects on supporting Canadians, right? Like supporting Canadians in this crisis. And what better person to ask on how to, you know, support Canadians in this crisis than the federal minister that's in charge of families, children, and social development. So sit back, enjoy this conversation between CEO of NCCM Mustafa Farooq and Minister Ahmed Hussein, and we'll be back at the end of this episode.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome everyone. For those watching or listening at home, I'm your host and CEO of the National Council of Canadian Muslims, Mustafa Farooq. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest. With us is the Federal Minister of Families, Children, and Social Development, Minister Ahmed Hussein. Thank you so much. We're very excited to have you in, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
For the past few weeks, we've held conversations with political leaders of all stripes and across governments as part of our Facebook Live Leaders Roundtable series. Today, we're doing things a little bit differently. We're going to be having an intimate conversation with Minister Hussein with select questions from followers in advance. This conversation with Minister Hussein will be an opportunity for us to share our followers' questions and concerns. So let's just jump right into it. To start with, I think we need to acknowledge that we're living in some strange times with COVID-19 being what it is. I'm sure that you've been extremely busy with all of the work on different supports. So how are you looking after yourself and spending your time when you're not, you know, inside Parliament Hill?
Essentially, I'm in constant touch with my team. We have virtual meetings. I'm also on a daily basis talking to different stakeholders, my counterparts in the provinces, or majority, if not all the mayors in Canada I've spoken to, all the different non-profit organizations, the small organizations, regular people, constituents of mine, but also the faith community, community leaders. It's been actually very, very, very busy and very active. Of course, at the same time, government work is continuing, so I'm constantly in touch with officials from my ministry, as well as my colleagues in cabinet and in caucus and other members of parliament through parliamentary committees and all sorts of different calls that we have with different segments of society. So it's actually been quite hectic, but we've had to adjust our way of meeting through use of technology. And so far, it's actually been quite good in terms of using that technology.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that. Now, one of the questions that I've had is, you know, there's so many supports. If you were to describe to Canadians, in one or two, in three top points, how you'd go about, for the Canadians who aren't aware of some of the supports that have come down, what would be the top, if you were going to describe in three points the supports that have come in, how would you articulate that to Canadians? Or to more precisely to our listeners that are listening in?
Yes, I think it would be really important to, I would emphasize to all of you, because you're leaders in the community, to emphasize to everyone in the community to file their taxes this year, because we have increased the Canada Child Benefit for families with children by $300 per child for the month of May. That is a lot of support to get people through COVID-19. We've also increased the GST tax credit by an additional $400 for individuals and $600 for couples. But the challenge is that those two benefits flow through the income tax system. So when you file your taxes, that's when you get your Canada Child Benefit money, as well as the GST tax credit. So one message that I would emphasize to people is to encourage members of the community who obviously need this money and who are eligible to remember to file their taxes. And the Canada Revenue Agency, in the context of COVID-19, has made it easier to do that by allowing electronic signatures to be considered as real signatures. So they've made it easier for people to file from home. The piece I would say is that our focus has been really on three groups. One is families, workers, and small businesses, as well as the nonprofit sector, making sure that all those folks can survive, remain resilient, and then bounce back after COVID-19. So for families, I've already spoken about the supports. But in addition to that, any parent who has to stay home in order to look after their children because their children are going to school because of COVID-19, they've become eligible for the Canada Emergency Response Benefit, $2,000 a month for 4 months. The wage subsidy will do a lot to keep people employed. Imagine the government saying that we will pay 75% of the wages of your employees. If you're a business, instead of laying off those people, now you can keep them hired and you can continue. It also allows businesses that have recently laid off their workers to rehire them, because now the government will cover 75% of their wages. That will go a long way in helping a lot of folks. The third thing that I'm very proud of is that we've put up $350 million to support the nonprofit sector and the charitable sector. Again, because they're already providing a lot of supports to the most vulnerable at this difficult time, we are enabling them to continue that service and expand it if possible. How do people get to be aware of these benefits and these announcements? The first place would be through the Government of Canada website. The second one would be through your Member of Parliament. Members of Parliament have been sending out weekly updates of all the new programs and explaining their eligibility. In addition to that, their offices remain a free resource for constituents to call and say, look, I think I may be eligible for this benefit or that benefit. Can you give me some advice? And they'll be able to connect them to the right people. So there's a lot of resources out there, but I would start with the Government of Canada website and the Member of Parliament offices.
Thank you very much, Minister Hussain. And these are really historic times. I think people are going to look back at the supports that were offered to Canadians right now and really, you know, do an analysis of how that actually worked in the context of the pandemic for many years to come. So while I think these are obviously difficult times, they're also quite fascinating from the perspective of thinking about how do we make Canada a better place. Now, since you talked about the question of the nonprofits, I'm going to dive into the question of something that NCCM has been working on, which has been about defending the charitable sector. Sorry, Minister, do you want me to? I can hang on for a second.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I was just talking to my child.
Okay, no problem. So last month, NCCM, along with many of our partners in the charitable and non-for-profit sector, we sent an open letter to you on the need for greater supports for the charitable sector.
Yes.
Obviously, some of the asks that were within that letter have been met. For example, we asked for a wage subsidy to be applied for folks in the non-for-profit charitable sector. And I think that, you know, that's very clearly been met, and we appreciate that. Also, it's been clear that there have been significant supports announced for nonprofits, the $350 million you just described, which again is much appreciated by many folks who are on the front line and who are for first responders, essentially from the charitable side. However, there are still many nonprofits and charities that are still extremely concerned. So for example, many of our mosques, churches, synagogues, these are organizations that provide incredibly important frontline services, spiritual guidance, mental health counseling. You know, right now we're in the month of Ramadan, where many mosques provide food and other kinds of services for the less fortunate. Now, of course, there are many of them are still looking for some of the asks that we made in our letter, like matching contributions and increasing the charitable tax credit, as well as making sure that there's a larger cap on the interest-free loan that's been offered. Obviously, we appreciate that there's, you know, at this point, that have been announced, but many folks are still concerned and worried from the non-for-profit sector. In fact, I was just on the phone with a major Mississauga-based charity who told me that they're still considering having to shutter their doors, even while demand has rapidly increased, because they have a lot of contractors, so the wage subsidy doesn't necessarily apply to them. So I wanted to get your take. Obviously, I know that we're I just wanted to get your take on how that's moving forward.
Very important question. Look, the $350 million will go a long way in helping the frontline agencies, the nonprofits, and the charitable sector. And I want to assure through you, the community, that this fund will be distributed in a very equitable, transparent, accountable manner, because we want to make sure that A, that it is not just the big organizations that that get that funding, but also the smaller community-based organizations that have the credibility on the ground, that have the relationships, that are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And secondly, we want to make sure this fund is for vulnerable Canadians. So it is for any nonprofit or charitable organization that is addressing the needs of vulnerable Canadians in the context of COVID-19. So we want to make sure that there's coverage regionally, there is coverage in rural Canada, but there's also coverage in terms of all the vulnerable groups. And we will be tracking that and following this very, very closely. In addition to that, you told me Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy is now available to nonprofits and charities. So that will bring down some of the requests that they had in terms of the dollar figure. But there is no question that the sector is being hit really hard. And despite all the things we've announced, there's still people, organizations that will be left out of that. So there's, for example, organizations that simply cannot demonstrate a drop in revenue in the first 3 months of this year, because, for example, for Muslim organizations,
seasonally tied to Ramadan.
Yeah, it's Ramadan when the revenues are collected most. So for those kinds of organizations, many others like the Cancer Society is April, so they couldn't demonstrate a drop in revenue in January, February, and March. because their big campaign month is April. So they have sent a request to the government before we announced the wage subsidy and the $350 million. They asked for a $9 to $10 billion stabilization fund for the entire sector. But after we announced the wage subsidy and we announced the $350 million, I called them and I said, look, you may have to revise your numbers. And they said, that's true, because some of them will certainly benefit from those programs. So they've brought their request down to about $3 to $4 billion. And that is now in front of the Minister of Finance. I've been working with them for weeks, really hashing out some of the issues facing them and what their requirements are. One thing I want to say, though, is I strongly believe that the increase we've made to the duration of the Canada Summer Jobs Program and the provision of the Canada the Canada Student Learning Grant, Service Grant, which is $5,000, when you combine those two and the Canada Emergency Student Benefit, there will be way more students out there who will be looking for a place, an organization to take them in so that they can have access to that $5,000 in addition to the other money that they're getting through the Canada Summer Jobs Program. So I would encourage a lot of the organizations to take advantage and bring those students in, because we've lengthened the period of the Canada Summer Jobs Program to March of 2021. So please benefit from that human resource. And it's great for them because they also get experience.
No, thank you. Thank you, Minister Hussain. And also, we appreciate the fact that your office has been so diligent on engaging with us on this file, as they're in the midst of doing so many other things. So thank you for that. Now, obviously, the work that so many of these charities has been doing has really, in some ways, kind of started a bit of a movement. People, like recently, there was a spread on the BBC and the New York Times about the term caremonger, which has been trending in Canada and abroad. I mean, here at home, I mean, you have Muslim support organizations like the Canadian Muslim Response Network, the CMRN, to support vulnerable Canadians. There's also that great spread in the Toronto Star about Conquer COVID. I've been endorsed by, a whole bunch of like Ryan Reynolds and stuff, but it was also started by grassroots Muslim doctors and others, here in the GTA. So how is the government amplifying this work of caremongering? In your daily practice, when you go about doing things, how have you been amplifying this sort of really beautiful, obviously these are dark times, but there's also, in some ways, there's a beauty in seeing average Canadians step up in such beautiful ways.
So I think one of the things that government can do, and I've certainly done that in my own capacity, is to amplify those messages, to amplify those selfless people who are really doing a lot and doing a lot of heavy lifting. So I tried to share their stories. I tried to amplify their stories. The second thing that we have to do is, as we reverse government aid to the nonprofit and charitable sector, is to amplify our dollars. So for example, as part of the Community Emergency Response Fund, we're not just funding service, we're not just funding material help like food and medicine, which is really important, but we're also funding services like mental health support, but also services such as, there's groups out there, nonprofit organizations, that help people to access the benefits that they actually have eligibility for, but that they've never applied for various reasons, maybe language barriers or lack of internet or whatever. And there are organizations who do nothing but that. So they will connect with someone like yourself and they'll say, you're eligible for the CERB. You know that your family should be getting the Canada Child Benefit, and you should be getting the GST tax credit. And here's how. And they actually help people. And, $1 spent in those organizations will free up so much more dollars, because they literally empower individuals and they lift the financial status of individuals, because you will find families who haven't applied for taxes for years and they apply and then they get all these retroactive payments. So those organizations are also on our radar, because it's one way to really help people who we can never reach as a government, to touch them and to enable them to get money that they should be getting in the first place. Every single year, there is money that comes back to the government that shouldn't be coming back to us. We would rather that it doesn't come back to us. Mm-hmm. It should be going to people who are not only eligible for it, but who clearly need it. And so one thing that I can say to everyone in this meeting through you is, if there's one thing, you know, we can do a lot as a government, and we are doing a lot, but if there's one thing that you can do, is to really encourage members of our community to file their taxes. And we've made it easier this year because CRA is allowing electronic signatures to be counted as real signatures. And we've increased the Canada Child Benefit by $300 per child. That is a lot of money for families with children. 9 out of 10 families will get more money in their pocket. But they will not get that money if they don't file their income taxes.
No, that's much appreciated, Minister Singh. And I think that's that point about, so as a takeaway, everyone, please make sure you file your taxes. As well as, you know, if you have more questions, contact your local MP or do any of the other steps that Minister Singh is advising. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, now, obviously, on the bright side of the response to COVID-19 has been, you know, the movement to engage in caremongering organizations like the CMRN, et cetera. But there's also been the dark side, which is that there are many in Canada and, you know, across the country in various provinces that are seeking to undo the work of bringing Canadians together by preferring to sow division racial and religious lines.
Oh, absolutely. Just go to my Twitter page on any
given day. God.
You'll see that. In fact, I just posted a message on the ban of assault rifles in Canada. And I just said, you know, these guns don't belong to our country. And you should see the messages beneath that. It's really disgusting stuff. So we all go through this. It's really difficult, but I'll let you finish. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry you have to go through that. That's
no, hard. It comes with the territory. Unfortunately, it shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah. It really shouldn't. Here, in Edmonton, Alberta, we've seen a person drive up to mosques saying that he's going to engage in a Ramadan bombathon, talk about how, you know, he was checking to make sure that nobody was on the property, which of course nobody was, but really ended up trespassing and just filming random people walking on the streets, trying to scare people, people screaming at their neighbors who appear to be Muslim, telling them, you know, to go back to their countries, et cetera, et cetera. So as government, obviously, you're in the midst of doing all of these supports, and that's incredibly important work. But how do you propose to ensure, that we combat this hatred and bigotry that's affecting our communities right now in the light of COVID-19? And I'll ask you to be, it's hard to do, but relatively brief response.
Very happy to do that. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this kind of behavior has no place in our country. I think we're very lucky as a community to have groups like NCCM that document this stuff, that articulate it in the media and in the public sphere. I think you have to keep doing that. On the government side, I think what we have to do is bring back Section 13 as part of the Canadian Human Rights Act. And I've been pushing for that before I got into office as a member of parliament and as a minister. It's something that I believe we should have done yesterday. I'll keep fighting that. A lot of this hate speech is being disseminated through electronic means, and Section 13 prevented that, dealt with that, and the Conservatives took it out. We should be putting that back in, and I will do whatever I can to keep fighting.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We have a lot of thoughts about Section 13 and how that could be, how we can make sure that Canadians have the access to protect themselves from hate, while also making sure that the Canadian Human Rights Act is working for Canadians.
Please share those thoughts with me, and I will
make sure we share those thoughts. We have 2 minutes left. So I'm going to leave it to you if you would like to give a brief.
Look, I think that we're very, very lucky as a community to live in Canada, where we have groups like NCCM that fight every single day to really highlight human rights abuses and violations against our civil and political rights, and safeguarding literally our safety, advocating for measures to make Canada a more inclusive society. I always say that, you know, the fact is, you know, diversity in Canada is a fact, but inclusion is a choice. And NCCM has made the choice to fight for that every single day. And I really, really appreciate that. I know I don't get to say that often enough, but every chance that I get, I say it. The second thing I would say is, as we fight within government, not just as Muslim Canadians, but many, many allies within government who care deeply about the state of the Muslim community inside government, inside parliament, as we go about that good fight for a more inclusive Canada that, of course, has a place for Muslim Canadians, please continue doing what you're doing. Your advocacy, your educational campaigns, your ability to really push that inclusive agenda and articulate the rights of Muslim Canadians and their place in Canada is really, really crucial. It is, I think, one of the fundamental pieces that it's almost like oxygen for the community. So I would really encourage you to keep doing that, not just to thank you, but to really encourage you to keep doing that and to use us as a resource for whatever campaigns that you have. Share your proposals with us in the same way that you sent that letter. And I will do my utmost in whatever capacity that I have to push and to encourage government and parliamentarians to listen to your unique perspective as you work every day to help Canada to become a more inclusive, a more tolerant, and a more participatory democracy. I will end by also highlighting what each and every one of us has in terms of a role in what happens after COVID-19. The actions that each and every one of us takes in listening to the advice of our public health officials, in staying home and working from home as much as possible, and if we have to leave the house to maintain a 2-meter distance from others, those actions that we individually take will determine the speed or the slowness of COVID-19 spreading in Canada. So I really strongly encourage you to also encourage members of our community to practice social distancing, physical separation, and to job as Canada, but we can't afford to let go at this time, and to listen to the advice. You should never listen to health advice from a politician. You should listen to the world-class health experts, and they're the ones who we will rely on to advise us on what happens as we slowly get to normal. Thank you so much. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you, and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Thank you so much, Minister Hussain. We really appreciate your remarks. It's much appreciated.
One thing I just wanted to say is that this is our first meeting virtually, but it shouldn't be the last. So as Ramadan continues, as the government continues to deal with COVID-19, I'm more than happy to come back to update NCCM and your membership on what further measures we're taking, and also to take any further questions of needs that emerge or things that we couldn't get to today. So really happy to make myself available, but I leave that to you to organize.
Sure. Thank you, Minister Hussain. You've always made yourself available and as well as your office. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, that's been all the time. I'd encourage you all to, as Minister Hussain was saying, please continue to stay home, especially during this month of Ramadan. This is not the time to be going to each other's houses for iftar parties. This is not the time to be going to Taraweeh. This is the time to be staying home, praying to God. And maybe trying to do the best you can to, you know, support your neighbors from, you know, a safe physical distance. This has been a really informative discussion. Thank you so much for joining us today, Minister Hussain, on the Leaders Roundtable. We at NCCM and our sponsor, Islamic Relief, we wish you and your family peace, safety, and health this COVID crisis and beyond. Thank you so much.
I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation between NCCM CEO Mustafa Farooq and the Federal Minister of Families, Children, and Social Development, Minister Ahmed Hussain. they really had a chance to just reflect on this kind of world that we're living on and how to better support Canadians. I hope there was information in there that was able to help each and every one of you. I hope there was information in there that would, you know, better enlighten how to live in this world and what we can actually do for ourselves and our families at this time. So that does bring us to the end of our episode today. Before we leave, I'd like to remind everyone that doesn't follow Minister Hussein on his social medias, please go out there and give him a follow on Twitter and Facebook and anywhere else that you do find him. And don't forget to follow NCCM on all their social media as well. That's all for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, please don't forget to leave us a review and a rating here on iTunes. And other than that, masalam, and we'll check back in next week. Take care. You've been listening to Profiled, an NCCM podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media. On Facebook and Twitter, it's at NCCM. And for Instagram, it's at NCCM_community. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back next week.